This podcast is brought to you by Australia's LGBTQIA+ community media organisation, Joy. Keep Joy on air by becoming a member, a subscriber, or donate. Head to joy.org.au. Joy, a diverse sound for a diverse community.
You're listening to a podcast of Sci-Fi and Scream on Joy 94.9. Australia's only LGBTI program focused on the horror and sci-fi community.
Warning, warning. This is an official warning. The health service recommends you turn off your radio now. This program is not good for you. It will fry your brain.
It will cause lasting insanity.
Oh God!
Little orifices. You have been warned.
Turn that damn radio off!
I'm gonna count backwards from 10. 10, 9, 8, 7, 6, 5, 4, 3, 2, too late.
Like, that sounds like razor blades in my eyes.
We warned you.
Ugh.
Oh, God.
My eyes!
Oh,
my ears! We warned you. We warned you. Oh, God, it's too late.
Meow.
Oh, God, someone poke my eardrums out now. I can't handle it any longer.
Killing me.
It's Sci-Fi and Squeam time here on Joy 94.9 with Sonia the Squeamer and talking about MQFF, Melbourne Queer Film Festival, amongst other things that we're doing this evening here on Joy 94.9. Thanks again to Chatterbox. And I have in the studio returning to show her superhuman strength tonight is Lauren Stardust. Welcome.
Oh, thank you for having me.
It's good to have you here. What are you going to talk about tonight?
Oh, I've got a new film that's just come out that I would like to chat about, the old Batman versus Superman.
Right. Are they interchangeable? Can it be Superman versus Batman, or does the Bat come before the Superman?
I think it's an alphabetical order sort of a
I see.
Thing.
All right.
Yeah. Yeah.
Fair enough. Cool. And Clayton Claytox is here. Not talking about the box, but
no
the movies.
No boxes tonight. My microphone's having issues, so I have to bend down a bit.
Oh, so don't I'll hunch over the break. Like, you know, Notre Dame, the hunchback.
Yes, I'm not here. Well, I might join a little bit on the Batman versus Superman, but I'm here for You're Killing Me.
Yes, well, we heard the Dandy Warhols.
We did. Yeah. Who Are Killing Us? No.
That's our new single, actually, for this year. That's just come out very recently, like in the last few days. It's not, as I'm aware, it's not even in the film You're Killing Me, which is one of the MQFF films. So it's just a coincidence, a happy stance.
I'm going to take a guess they probably couldn't afford it. But
Which ones? Yeah,
the people who made You're Killing Me.
Oh, the film, yes, maybe not. It is low budget, but that's all right.
Oh, no, that's fine. I love a low budget film.
Yeah, cool. Mm-hmm. What else are we talking about? MQFF.
Girls Lost or Pojkana or The Boys, depending which title you like.
If you're Swedish, you'll like it.
Mm-hmm. Yes, I'm not Swedish.
Well, hey, it's got subtitles, so, you know, everyone can join in, pretty much.
And then Sisters of the Plague.
Interesting little film on at the Queer Film Festival this year as well.
It's a bit of some horror and sci-fi themes happening this year, which is good.
I know. In the genre, there's been a few. Last week, we talked about Closet Monster by Stephen Dunn, a Canadian film, or as some politicians call it, Canadia. Do you have Canadia?
I think you can get a cream for that now.
You can get inoculated. I was inoculated today. Thank you, vaccination.
Well done.
Yes, Closet Monster, Stephen Dunn. It's a little film that's done big things, and we talked about it last week. You can head to the joy.org.au to find out that podcast. But it won Best Feature for 2015 for the Toronto International Film Festival, known as TIFF. And that's a really good sign. And for a queer film to be crossing over like that into mainstream, so-called mainstream, is pretty terrific because, as I found out, thanks to Kayla Janice, who was our guest last week, TIFF, or Toronto International Film Festival, is actually number 5 in all film festivals worldwide. We've sort of got like Cannes and then the other ones. And number 5 is TIFF.
Wow.
But speaking of, actually, I've got some news about film festivals.
Ooh.
Yeah, local-ish, Australian as well. The embargo has broken, so I can talk about this very favourably now here on Sci-Fi and Squeam, and that is Stranger With My Face. International Film Festival is happening very soon, next month, the 14th to the 17th of April, in Tasmania, of course. And there's some great films that they've released or announced, I should say. And we talked about that again last week with Kayla, who works down there. She's working with Bryony Kidd, who heads the Stranger With My Face International Film Fest. So we've got the Australian premiere of Lucille Hadzalanovic's Evolution, the Australian premiere of Bernard Rose's Frankenstein, or is that Frankenstein? And the international premiere of Janati Rona Tembang Sari's A Midnight Show. So, it's the fourth year for Stranger With My Face International Film Fest. Fabulous lineup, 8 feature films, a whole lot of short films in the program, a symposium. There are workshops, panels, presentations, and social events. You get to dress up, cosplay as your favourite horror lady in a horror film or whatever genre. It's good stuff. There's also films like Killers, The Raid, and Raid 2. Janati Ronam Tembang Sara has worked on those as second unit director and first assistant. So it's looking pretty good. And as the festival director, Brian, he says, these films sum up what Stranger By Face is all about. Evolution is the Aussie one. It's a poetic and provocative meditation on themes around motherhood and the human body. Body horror sounds good to us. We like a bit of body horror, don't we, Lauren?
I'm such a fan. I love body horror.
Like, what's good about it? What is it?
I don't even really know. I just think it's truly original, and it's just that hole in something within, you know.
Trying to get out, usually.
Yeah, then even it's just being unable to control your
bodily
that horrible change. Yeah. Like The Fly is probably a great example of it. You
Inside
know?
Out, it definitely is.
Yeah, the skin tearing apart and. It just
eating
being
donuts
inevitable.
Had never been the same for me. You know, when he eats,
it's like a Twinkie or like a
he spits.
Like he spits on, vomits on it. Like
yeah,
a fly.
Vomits on it. So the acids in his fly saliva breaks up the donut, and then he can just suck it up with his long tongue. Fabulous.
The beauty of that film in particular is that his own fascination with his transformation.
Because he's a scientist.
And we watch in disgust where he is so fascinated by himself. Fantastic.
Jeff Goldblum.
Oh, Jeff Goldblum.
So we are talking the remake here.
Oh, yes, not the little 1950s one. Help me. That terrorized me as a child.
I really did.
I wanted to stamp it out. Mm-hmm. I really did. Love a bit of horror. So, yeah, Stranger of My Face is going to be April 14th, 17th. It's a great community opportunity for filmmakers, people involved in films and genre, and in particular the focus is on women, females, and wonderful. Head to their Facebook page. Easy to do, facebook.com/SWMFIFF, because they're international now. They're getting lots of, people from overseas coming down all the way to Tassie. Ooh, great. There's also Vintage Blood by Abigail Blackmore is going to be playing. Wow. And these are just some of the short films and really talented people that looking forward to them going into feature films or hopefully even television. So, yes, good stuff happening in the news around the Squeamverse.
I want to see this short film called The Goblin Baby. I like the title. I don't know anything else about it, but I
really
like the title.
Labyrinth, so I'm totally into that. Yeah.
Do you think it could be offspring
could
of
be
the Goblin
Toby.
King?
Toby. Did Toby really go back? Was it all just an acid trip? We'll find out here.
Yeah, so look, if anyone's going to the Melbourne Queer Film Festival, which starts very soon, kicks off, this Thursday, March the 31st, runs till April 11 here in Melbourne Town, let us know 0427JOY949, or they can email us, can't they, Clayton?
They can, onair@joy.org.au, and they can't phone us because there's someone at this. No, we do have someone at this, so 1300JOY949.
Yes, we don't have any prizes, but the prizes you get to talk to us and we'll read your email out and what film you're going to see. And if you're going to see genre films at Stranger with My Face, Melbourne Queer Film Festival, that would be good too. And in the background, you can hear some very interesting music from one of the films that we're highlighting tonight. From the movie Sisters of the Plague, we've got Empty Set Divide. This is very atmospheric. It's by somebody called, a group of people called Empty Set. And they're from England. And this is actually recorded in an old mine shaft in Kent, England.
How's that? The film had that great 80s synth that's coming around with horror films at the moment.
It was very distorted and very trippy, really trippy.
It's nice to have an 80s comeback, or the synth especially, because I was used to John Carpenter doing his own soundtrack.
Yeah.
And that was just so amazing and really quite
pioneering.
He's
going on tour.
Is he?
For his music.
Interesting.
I would see that in a flash.
Wow.
Which we'll be doing in a couple of weeks.
Oh, yeah.
Okie dokie. All right. This is Sci-Fi and Scream on Joy 94.9.
The Junction is a place for lesbian, gay, bisexual, transgender, intersex, queer and questioning young people and their friends to get together and talk about spirituality, sexuality and self in a safe place.
Join The Junction on the first Sunday of every month from 3 to 5pm at 174 Collins Street in Melbourne. Come and hang out at the Veranda Cafe for an afternoon of music, coffee and making friends.
Oh yeah, and it's free.
For more information, visit csbc.org.au/The Junction or join The Junction on Facebook.
Together, Joy 94.9 and our spirituality program, Spirit Lounge, Thursdays at 8, are proud to support this community message.
The Lost Dogs Home on Joy 94.9 presents Pets Allowed. Join the Lost Dogs Home crew and friends for Pets Allowed, exploring all things animal from wet nose to wagging tail. Fridays from noon on Joy. News, views, interviews, advice and everything mice. Brought to you by Joy sponsor, the Lost Dogs Home. Pets Allowed on Joy. More fun than you can wag your tail at.
Hey, this is Matt from Astron 6, and you're listening to Sci-Fi and Squeam on Joy 94.9. Hi, guys, it's George.
And Barnes.
We just wanted to give a shout out to all our new subscribers, all our new fans. We've got more Pam and Tabby coming out soon.
More Country Cooks.
More Denise and Susan. Don't forget to like us on Instagram, follow us on Twitter.
Oh, and add us on Facebook.
And thank you so much for watching.
Subscribe.
You make those stupid videos.
I just saw the one about the woman who gets chopped up into pieces.
Is that a machete in your lab? Why, yes it is.
Oh, I like that one.
I just killed a guy last night for the first time.
Did you?
That thing that you want to do, do it to me.
So what, you're telling me, like, you're some lonely murderer who I'm giving my number to? Hot.
So he walked up to you while you were holding produce?
Yeah.
God, that kind of thing never happens to me.
Well, he has a really twisted sense of humor.
Can I call you tomorrow? I'm gonna have to ditch these bodies somewhere.
You're funny.
That's, like, scary.
Well, he's not scary. He's gorgeous.
Dr. Strauss would never believe this.
Who's Dr. Strauss?
He's the doctor at the hospital where I used to live.
Oh, like a Pray the Gay Away?
It was more about learning empathy and self-awareness.
Oh, I'd be so into something like that. I go to yoga.
Joe's never brought a friend home for lunch before.
We just connected really quickly.
Should you be connecting?
Oh, we're not connecting. I mean, yet. Okay.
That was weird.
You have to be very nice to Joe today because he just killed his parents, so he's feeling very vulnerable.
Did I tell you guys about Andy?
Yeah, no one's seen him for a while.
That explains it because I sent him a video and he hasn't even liked it yet.
You knew that he was killing people and you didn't even call the police.
I didn't know he was serious.
Your feelings really matter to me. And I want to protect that.
This is going to sound crazy, but is this some kind of conspiracy? Like, is this a conspiracy that's happening?
Where are you right now? We're calling 911.
Sci-Fi and Squeam on Joy 94.9. Talking about McQuiff, or Melbourne Queer Film Festival. That sounds better, doesn't it, people?
McQuiff.
McQuiff is okay tonight. It's happy. It's purring. Underneath all this dress and, you know, all this blood and gore, we've got You're Killing Me. This film is by Jim Hansen. That's Hansen.
Hansen, yeah, not Hansen.
He's not the puppet master. The late, great Jim Hansen. No, mm-hmm. This is Jim Hansen.
Mm-hmm. And he's known mostly for his costume and wardrobe work. So it's not his first directorial piece. Thing. I'm not speaking.
Glad you've written that.
Yeah,
wow.
I didn't write that. That's why. But he did the wardrobe for Kill Bill and Bring It On. So
wow.
He's actually got a bit of... Yeah.
He loves a bit of gore, too.
He does.
This film is quite the
gore. Is it gore and Bring It On?
It should be. In one version, there is.
Whoa.
Bring It On versus Jason.
Oh.
Yeah, that's a good one.
Okay, I must check that out.
Yeah.
You're killing me. Right?
Bring It On versus... that's the name of the movie. Bring It On versus Predator.
Okay, are these YouTube mashups 3D. That you've made? Or?
Yeah, IMAX.
Oh, that's great.
Yeah, I'd love
absolutely
that.
Watch that.
This is sarcastic, caustic, gay, white, cisgender men just getting it, and it's fabulous. I love to see that happen. Metaphorically speaking.
Yeah, yeah.
I like to see
good representation.
Men get it on too. But that's
no, getting it.
Oh, getting it. Sorry,
you know, like,
I misheard.
And so on, fictitiously. Oh.
A young, fictitiously. Young Mr. Joe.
Yep, what happened? What's it about?
Young Mr. Joe, after just being released from his institution, mistakenly thinks that he's found a kindred spirit in his psychopathy.
This is full of spoilers and badly pronounced words.
Yeah.
just like Batman versus Superman.
So, yeah. Well, spoilers for your spoilers.
Spoil for them.
A young psychopath, Joe, just thinks he's found a nice kindred spirit in George.
George, who has a YouTube.
He has a YouTube
fantastic
thing.
Fantastic YouTube show.
And he thinks
George
he's just,
and Barnes, isn't it? With his mate Barnes.
Yes, quite entertaining pair, I must say. But they just... get along really well, except Joe's actually killing people.
Well, he's killing the people that are in the way of his relationship he wants to build with George.
With George, because he thinks George is also a sociopath.
Yeah, he thinks that George knows that he's...
How romantic.
It is
romantic. It's set in Los Angeles or the left corner of Hollywood.
It's some sort of,
say. Mm-hmm. And you've got all these people. Like, I love the two friends. One of them's called Cameron, actually. which okay. isn't your name at all.
No, it's Clayton. Yes. I don't, and, why are we looking at me when you say
Clayton Ravine?
The female friend. They just say these amazing, incredibly stupid one-liners.
There's
but
great
so
one-liners.
Funny all the way through this. It's got all these fabulous this fabulous dialogue and I was just transported. I just found myself laughing, and suddenly there's someone being stuck with a knife like a pig.
Yeah,
and and you know, suddenly you go from cheerful, bouncy, frolicky, almost happy, gay, nice buff, you know, young white males to having a knife suddenly stuck in them, and they look as surprised as you do in the audience.
They're very,
and then a finger is being pushed into the wound by Joe. And what I loved about those scenes, the stabbing scenes were my favourite, was this is beautiful etherical? It's not a word.
Ethereal.
It's not just me mispronouncing things,
ethereal.
Is it?
Ethereal.
Yes.
Ethereal.
A beautiful ethereal light comes on, like he's almost like a Jesus figure, and that's appropriate for Easter. It comes on over his face, and that sounds wrong, above his head, and this beautiful swelling music happens,
and you get
it?
These
you
flickers
get
of his flickers of reality
love.
For him. So they're just like bang,
these
bang,
flashbacks.
Yeah,
that's sort of like a little bit of a representation of his god complex. Him is taking it? Lives oh. into his own hands. Like I haven't seen the film, but that's what I would interpret it as.
Yeah that's what most sociopaths sort of aim for in film. So
yes.
Yeah,
well, I really loved it, and I really loved the parents, Joe's parents. He takes George over to.
She was great. She was.
The mother was fabulous. Wasn't she?
Yes.
Yeah. And so, what are you saying about this film?
Look, I loved it. I found there was a few too many cliches in parts for me, like from a lot of other queer films just put into this one. But the stabby part was great, so that made it better.
Yeah,
because stabbing is always better.
It was done well. Like, not every slasher can pull it off.
No,
there was a real sense of naturalism in the stabbing.
There was, and the reactions that people had throughout the film as they're getting stabbed is quite interesting.
Like, you're killing me.
Yeah.
Question.
Like, is this actually happening?
Is this happening? I thought we were just dating.
Yeah.
You know? Is there sixth date, and he stabs the guy.
Aww.
You know, hasn't even got to second base.
Yeah, well, that's his problem, is he doesn't want to get to any base.
Yeah, so,
so
there's a lot of sexual issues going on here.
Is that sort of like a penetrative...
Oh yeah,
sort of metaphor. Oh yeah,
must
yeah.
be.
Oh yeah.
Having watched a lot of these procedural crime dramas, it's all about sex when they stab. It's just,
okay.
It's a penis going in every single time.
God damn patriarchy! Wow. Can't escape it.
No. Did anyone see Up with? I've forgotten it now, but it was a zombie film. Zombies having sex. Male gay zombies.
Oh,
I
fabulous!
Might have to now.
No, I cannot think of the name of the film.
Sounds delicious.
It's really bad. I remember talking about it years ago, but
we'll have to look
totally
into it. If you can remember what that film is, you can.
And I love the horror cliches in this film too. Like he carries around a tool bag.
Yes,
lovely little tool bag, and it's like something out of Country Road or IKEA. And he pulls out beautiful tools. Like he's got a lovely knife. It's always clean. Did you notice that?
Yeah,
knife?
Yeah. It's
takes some, he takes effort to look after.
Is he sort of like a gay Patrick Bateman sort of a figure?
Yes, there is, because it's a plastic sheeting.
I'd say meets Dexter.
Yes.
Meets Dexter. And of course, like, it's LA. Is Dexter more LA when I think about it?
No, that's Miami.
Oh, I'd have no clue.
Yeah.
This is more LA, Dexter.
It's probably shot in LA, but they made it look like Miami.
Well, it's with more beautiful people.
It's shot in LA and they made it look like LA.
Yeah, always.
Yeah, but... I just love that, you know. And
it was a lot of fun. I'd say go along and see it, definitely.
Yeah.
I was having a giggle at the one-liners, so I'm definitely in.
There's a great one-liner where the guy, Andy, in the first part of the film is wondering how come they can't have sex. And this is their sixth date, so they're on the bed and they're getting all close and intimate. And he just stops and says to Joe, the psychopath says to him, are you, like, homeschooled or something? it's got these funny bits on.
Oh, God.
So where is it playing? Let's have a look. I should know this. It's playing at the Melbourne Queer Film Festival. One session only.
No, that's
March
sad.
The 29th. No, that can't be right. Sorry. One session only. April the 8th. Yes, April the 8th. Perfect. 10:30 p.m. because, you know... It's got to be late at night.
There's stabbings.
It's only responsibility. It's also called Mumblegore.
Mumblegore?
You've heard of Mumblecore?
Yeah.
Films? Oh.
This is Mumblegore. This is gay Mumblegore.
Gay Mumblegore. I'm going to have to Google that. I'm going to Google the gay mumblegore.
Because I've got no idea what that means.
Neither, like. I was nodding along here like I was the smart person in the room. No, uh-huh. No clue.
No, no idea. All right, that's wonderful.
When in doubt, search it.
So it's directed by Jim Hansen, written by Jeffrey Self as well as Jim Hansen. Stars, I can't say these names very well, Sean Buchholz, James Cern, Mindy Cohn, other people as well.
It's one of those films that you see and you don't know any of the actors, but you know that you've
Mindy
seen them in
Cohn
something.
Mindy Cohn is Karen!
Yes.
Oh, one of my favourite little cameos, actually. Look, she's fabulous, Mindy Cohn. I don't know what she's been in, but I know the voice and the name and the face. But she drives by and she sees all these characters from the film, and they're all standing on the side of the road because basically Joe wants to kill them. Mm. And he wants George to help kill his own friends. And George is actually thinking about it. Okay, maybe let's do that. Get rid of all my boring friends and start anew. Go and live in your parents' house up in
Maine.
Yeah,
this might be a
and
bit so, too far into the film for us to be
is
sharing.
It?
Yeah,
really?
I think maybe.
Oh, but Mindy's in it. She's in it.
Maybe we just say Mindy's in it.
Mindy Cohn. Ah, look, it also has Carolyn Hennessy, Matthew McCallaghan, who plays the psychopath, Christian Olligan, who plays not the psychopath, someone called Sam Pancake. As Dr. Strauss, this
really
the another face I recognize.
Sam cake. What a great day.
Pancake. Thank you. What are you giving this?
I'm going to go for a 7.
Oh, out of 5?
10. Oh, are we out of 5? Well, that would be like 3.5 then.
3.5 out of 5? Or a 7 out of 10?
Or a 7 out of 10?
I'm giving this a 4 out of 5. Or actually an 8 out of 10. 8.5 out of 10. I just loved it. I watched it twice.
You did?
Before it expired. Yes, I watched it before the bodies
I only got
expired.
Through it once, but I definitely enjoyed.
Bravo.
Love it. Mm-hmm. I'm looking forward to it doing... It did well at Sundance. And
oh, excellent.
Anything that does well there usually does well anywhere else. Mm. Usually.
Yes.
Well, thank you, Clayton.
No problem.
All right. That's You're Killing Me by Jim Hansen and Jeffrey Self. And it's playing one time only, April 8th, Melbourne Queer Film Festival. Look it up, people. It's online. We'll also put up the links to all of that a bit later in the show. This is Sci-Fi and Scream on Joy 94.9.
This is Michael and Peter Spierig.
And you're listening to Sci-Fi and Scream on Joy 94.9.
Hi, my name is Madeline Olnick. I'm the director of the Foxy Merkins, and you're listening to Joy 94.9.
Hi, I'm Sarah Lamberg. You might know me as a lesbian cannibal, or sometimes a delusional life-drawing model, or perhaps a neurotic people pleaser. That's right, I'm an actor and director, and this is Sci-Fi and Scream.
This is Matthew A. Brown, and you're listening to Sci-Fi and Scream on 94.9.
Hi, this is Erin Gray from Buck Rogers in the 25th Century, and you're listening to Sci-Fi and Scream on Joy
I've always felt that, you know, it doesn't matter who you fall in love with.
Basic human rights should apply to all people, including gay people.
Hi, I'm Emma Caulfield.
And I'm Amber Benson.
And you're listening to Sci-Fi and Scream on Joy 94.9.
So how long have you two been friends?
Since Monday.
You brought a boy home for lunch that you've only known for 5 days?
I like him.
What do you mean you like him?
He understands me. I told him all about the hospital.
I thought we agreed that that was something we were leaving in your past.
Well, Dr. Strauss said it was important for me to be open and upfront with the people that I care about.
You care about a boy that you've known for only 5 days?
I do.
You'll have to forgive me, George. Joe doesn't have any friends. And I am not accustomed to having conversations with strangers in my own home.
I know it seems like this has moved really fast, but we just connected really quickly.
Connected? Should you be connecting?
Yes, I should.
Oh, we're not connecting. I mean, yet. Sorry. Okay. That was weird. Let's just start over. Hi, I'm George.
What is he doing?
He's starting over. Like nothing happened.
I'm not going to play a game with him, Joe.
I'm just trying to be funny.
Why are you with this comedian, Joe?
Oh, George isn't a comedian.
Actually, I am sort of a comedian. I mean, I write, too.
I'm going to be very honest with you, George. Joe is a very troubled boy, and it reflects poorly on your character that you have not yet discerned this.
Moms are usually my thing.
Goodbye, George.
Thank you.
LP, Sci-Fi and Scream on Joy 94.9. Where else can you have someone like Francis Bibi, a pygmy love song artist from the 70s from Africa, playing on a show at 10:35 at night or 25 minutes to 11? And the sound of Wolfgang Amadeus Mozart and his something or rather on a glass harpsichord. Made out of glass. A glass harmonica, sorry. So it's cylinders of glass that have been all fused together, like the rims of glass, but imagine they've all been fused together over a half a kilometre on a long wooden pole, and then this person comes up and rubs them to make sounds, and this is what you get.
Wow.
It's crazy. It's like pre-theremin, people.
Beautiful, yeah.
It is the 1700s coming to you live. Thanks very much, Wolfgang.
Live. Yeah.
Rock me, Amadeus.
Oh.
Yeah. Here on Sci-Fi and Scream, we'll be doing a bit of McQuiff, looking at McQuiff and thinking, there's some damn good
films. Would you put
films.
Your McQuiff away?
Away with it. We have Lauren Stardust.
Hello, Zees.
Hello. She's going to be ripping into it a bit later.
Mm-hmm.
And Clayton Claytox.
Good
Clayton
evening.
Wimshurst. So beautiful. This is why I'm playing this is because it's part of the soundtrack to an astonishingly interesting and raw film called Sisters of the Plague. 2015, only 1 hour and 20 minutes long. It's called a drama horror mystery. It's American and it's going to be playing one session only at the Melbourne Queer Film Festival. So, yes, it's only going to play once Saturday the 9th of April at 10:15 p.m.
Where all the good horror films go.
To Acme, yes, yeah. Usually at 10:15.
And after 10.
After 10. What is Sisters of the Plague about?
I'm not really 100% certain, but I still enjoyed it nonetheless. But according to Internet Movie Database, Sensing Evil, a haunted house tour guide seeks a medium's help, only to be warned that she is facing a vengeful, powerful power beyond her control.
Mm. Well, actually, it's a ghost tour. She's a ghost tourist.
Yes. Mm-hmm.
And taking around New Orleans, the French Quarter, or as we call it, Quartier Français.
Yes. I think there's mentions of Marie Lebeau or the...
Yes, we know her from American Horror Story.
We do.
The crossover between fact and fiction gets blurred, as it does in American Horror Story. It does here as well.
It does, but so
but
I can
more
say
realistic, too.
It is. But I think our history gets blurred enough anyway, so I don't think it's much different.
Well, who tells the history rules the world.
Yes.
So, yes, look... according to what I saw in this film, I was lucky to see a preview of it. Kate is... a girl who's living with Joe. That's as far as I've got. No. Joe, of course, is this
her
woman who's
car.
Having these dreams. And she's the ghost whisperer or she's the tour guide. She's also a performer into an avant-garde group of women that are doing like a witch or Wiccan performance at night. That type of thing. Very touristy, entertainment value and low budget. Sort of like La Mama meets... Yeah, Melbourne ghost tours, I suppose you call it. They do it in derelict buildings, and there's a lot of those because this is post, the terrible flooding.
Katrina.
Post-Katrina.
Yeah.
And you get that sense around the film. It's kind of swampy and wetlands and vacant lots and run-down homes, and then you've got the genteel sort of area, the French Quarter, very touristy with buskers on the street, the narrow little streets. It's kind of seedy. Mm. It's what you expect. From New Orleans, I suppose, the state that it's in.
It very much remind me of a Dogme Manifesto film.
Mm.
So that sort of
cut
down.
Well, it's low budget.
Yeah, low budget, but cut down and stripped down to the very bare basis of filmmaking, which is a great thing to see always.
So it seems that Joe, her dad, is living there, and he's very sick. He's like got like tuberculosis or something. He's coughing up blood, and he's living in the house in near the French Quarter that they live in. It's obviously Joe's house that she's inherited. Her mother, we've found out, spoiler, has passed away at some stage in the 90s. We figure that out. And she's trying to find out what, you know, these dreams keep haunting her. It's a female figure keeps coming to her. Obviously, it's symbolic of her mother who's passed away. She wants to find out. She goes to a spiritualist, and the spiritualist, well, isn't really able to help at all. Is it a metaphor for something else? I would say it's a metaphor for mental illness.
I think so.
She seems to flip in and out of coherency and non-coherency and then has these episodes that she's almost grand mal sort of episodes. There's some real psychological issues here, repression, and obviously the truth has been hidden from her. She may have seen her mother died, I don't know, but I believe her mother drowned. That's what I managed to get out of it.
Well, given the history of severe mental illness being treated as an exorcism,
yes,
so that definitely
of course.
Has those themes coming through. So.
Yeah. Yeah, interesting. Mm. Really interesting film in that respect, and because it is a female story, a woman's story. I was impressed with it. I know it's low budget, but mm-hmm. I was impressed with the phantasm and the haunting aspect. And again, the sonic, the whole audio side of this film. It's so, you can hear some of that now, just some of the, all the way through, there's this sort of throbbing, sort of mysterious sound like this. And it's really, it does something that very few horror films or thrillers can do. And that's creates a sense of this terrible dread.
Mm.
And dread is a really important factor in the recipe. If you're going to make a horror cake, make sure you put dread in there somewhere. But this film is just full of dread, and you don't know what's going on. And the characters seem so involved in there. You know, in the characters are so involving, and it's scary. But to me, I came away with, this is about mental illness, and in particular for women and the results of that.
Have either of you seen the film Lovely Molly?
No.
Okay, if you enjoyed as I haven't seen this one either, if you enjoyed this, I highly recommend Lovely Molly. It does deal with mental illness and what I believe to be a past of abuse. But it is about a young woman dealing with the repercussions and growing up with that. Mm. But the fascinating thing about it is that she'll have episodes, much like you've said here, in which things seem to be affecting her, and the environment comes and attacks her. And there's even footage of it, but no one else can see it in the footage. They just see her reacting. Nothing, no outside force there. That's sort of all in her head. It's really fascinating. It's really similar. It has that similar undertones, the sense of dread throughout
it's
it.
Very,
really good film. Highly recommend it. And if you've especially recommended this one to parallel, I think women and mental illness is something that horror directors... It's a wonderful narrative.
It can be a cliche, but this is quite.
I feel more often than not, there is the Hollywood cliche. Like, we could
definitely
talk Gothica, another whatnot. Like, is she crazy? Isn't she? But I think it's also a very powerful storytelling, and much like what we talked about, Rape Revenge, a wonderful way of being represented and sort of doing a pictorial or depiction of mental illness, giving an audience a sense of dread, almost gives them an opportunity to empathise with friends who have mental illness and so on.
Even It Follows does have that too. That was very much the first part of that film. To me, it was about the female protagonist suffering from a mental condition. She sees something no one else can. She has pain that no one else can understand. Remember, she thinks something is following her, but no one else can see it until, like, a quarter of the way through the film, suddenly everyone else can see something. And it's like, that felt a bit lazy.
She shagged everybody to pass it on.
Yeah, it's really interesting. So. It's a weird film, isn't it? Like, could be about many different, like, slut shaming it could be and like that, and young
the consequences of casual sex. And,
exactly. Is it about
I didn't get that. I mean, I got that, but that what I came away more from was the mental illness aspect or mental condition.
I'm a sexual health educator, so that's the part that stood out for me. So we all look at things with a different lens, and
that's what makes it an interesting film.
Absolutely.
Sisters of the Plague, what's the lens for that?
What's the lens? The lens is a very
extraordinary, isn't it? Scary.
Even if you go along, you don't like it. It's not very long, so just go along and enjoy it for that reason. I'm going to go with probably a 7 again for this.
Out of 10 and out of 5?
Out of 5, that would be 3.5.
Wowzy. I'm giving this a 4.5.
Ooh.
And I'm giving it a 9 out of 10. I did not think I was going to like it.
Mm-hmm.
I thought, I've got to turn off my well-polished, you know, I'm used to big-budget million-dollar toilet paper scenes. And for most films that I get, you know, asked to look at and view and preview and review, but it was just a refreshing change. I came away feeling, wow, that was a piece of cinema. That was a piece of cinema art. And I'm so grateful. I'd love to see it on the big screen. And I think you should too, if you get a chance. Remember, it is playing once only, Saturday the 9th of April, 10:15 p.m. Just head to Melbourne Queer Film Festival to find out more, to book and all of that. It's worth it. And yes, it does have queer content.
It does. Well, and actually, that's one thing I was going to say. It is a masterclass on how to make your film queer without making it about being queer.
Yeah, yeah. There's no talk about their sexuality between the two women. Actually, there's another woman that comes in the picture and scene as well. There's no consideration that it has to be super considered. It's just there. It's just a relationship.
Oh, you mean horror stories just happen to gay people as well?
Yes.
Wow. Apparently.
We see dead people.
We see gay people. We
see straight people.
That's a Sci-Fi and Scream on Joy 94.9.
Hello Kitty is a girl, and you're listening to Sci-Fi and Scream on Joy 94.9.
Hero saves a cat out of a tree. You read a Huff Piece editorial about an alien who could burn the whole place down.
Most of the world doesn't share your opinion, Mr. Wayne.
Maybe it's Gotham City in me. We just have a bad history with freaks dressed like clowns.
Bruce Wayne meets Clark Kent. I love it. I love bringing people together. How are we?
Lex.
Hi, hello. Lex, it is a pleasure. Ow, wow, that is a good grip. You should not pick a fight with this person.
The greatest gladiator match in the history of the world. Son of Krypton versus Bat of Gotham.
You're psychotic.
That is a three-syllable word for any thought too big for little mine.
She with you?
I thought she was with you.
For Wonder Woman, there's no gender, so it's all equal. She doesn't see things as man versus woman, God versus man. Like, everyone are equal. I love that about her. I felt that it's so right that if we bring back Diana after 100 years that she didn't fight, and now it's her first time after so long fighting, that she can enjoy it. She's a peace seeker. But at the end of the day, she's a badass warrior. She can fight.
And one time I was telling her a story, and then she said, the prince is always so brave and courageous and strong. And then I asked her, and what do you think about the princess? She said, nah. And then I asked her, why do you say that? And then she said, they always fall asleep, and then the prince, the one to wake them up. And they do nothing. And that made me feel so good. So anyway, it made me feel really good about playing Wonder Woman.
Yeah. No, it's really important to be able to have that role model. It is.
And boys always had Batman and Superman and Spider-Man and, et cetera, et cetera. And girls has the princesses. Now we have
Supergirl on television, and now we have Wonder Woman. And we have to keep putting those role models out.
Exactly.
For boys to see that, too.
Exactly.
All right.
She with you?
I thought she was with you.
Sci-Fi and Scream. Is she with you? This is actually the name of the piece of music in the soundtrack for, and I'm choking now, Batman versus Superman, Dawn of Justice. We heard Gal Gadot, who plays Wonder Woman, talking on the Ellen Show about her experiences and about her daughter, Alma. About what it's like to be a princess and a superheroine. And Lauren Stardust, take it away, talk about this film.
Yes, from the same bland sexist director who brought you bland sexist Superman from a few years back, comes another bland sexist film full of plot holes, bad writing, hypocritical Batman, gritty Superman, overlooked Wonder Woman, emotionally manipulative scenes and forced memorable lines, and also, how could we forget, all of those women, fallen women, screaming women, getting shot at women, drowning, kidnapped women, tortured women, women getting gifted jars of piss, women fighting women, getting blown up, women fighting but then falling in a sexy way.
Have they got heels on?
Yes,
Logan's
they
got
do.
The heels on.
Yeah, so I wasn't obviously very impressed with the film from a feminist perspective, which is a pity because I've actually enjoyed two Zack Snyder films out of the many he's done, that being Watchmen, and also I didn't realise he did 2004's Dawn of the Dead, which is super fun if you give it a rewatch. It still is hip and
agreed,
classy and
good
just
stuff.
A total good.
What
total
happened?
Brilliant romp.
Oh,
look,
God.
It was just a frickin' mess, to be honest. It was a hot mess. The film itself, it is full of ham-fisted imagery that is forced down your throat. It is full of gritty Superman, which we tried already in Man of Steel. It doesn't really work. Like, you know, he's kind of... The exciting part about Superman is watching him try and be Clark Kent. It's the most exciting part, and we saw almost none of that throughout Man of Steel, and none of that throughout whatever this film is called again, Batman versus Superman. Yeah, so I wasn't hugely into it. Ooh. Yeah, has anyone else
seen it? What's it about?
Yeah, okay, so look, I don't even know what much, it was about, to be honest.
Batman hates Superman.
Yeah, it is pretty much that, but it's really not. So the plot
is
that it's superpower envy. So the way it's framed is that Batman is frustrated at Superman because Superman, while saving the planet from aliens, is neglecting saving all the innocent people while he's saving the planet.
Well, he's busy.
Yeah, well, I get it. Like, it's the same plot line that Lex Luthor's followed for a long time, which is that Superman inevitably attracts bigger, scarier aliens to Earth.
Mm.
But at the same time, like, he's trying his best. My biggest problem with this plot line is the hypocrisy. Because
Batman's doing exactly the same things.
Yes, it's really frustrating.
I had major issues with that as well.
And you're a Bat fan, yeah?
Oh, look, I like the movies. I'm not so much into the comics. So.
Fair enough. I used to read the comics quite a bit. And Batman was usually... Look, if he killed, it was a huge deal. It was always part of Batman's plot line that he was not a killer. And even if the justice system was broken, he would, in his own way, abide by it, by locking up bad guys, never killing. So throughout this film, watching him like total cars with criminals, like low level thugs, I'm like, it's just not what Batman does.
I'm paying Arkham Origins at the moment, and I'm not allowed to kill anyone.
Good Batman. Good. Yeah. So basically, it's Lex Luthor is played by Jesse Eisenberg.
That was a train wreck.
Essentially, like young wacky Mark Zuckerberg.
Yeah, he was the Riddler. He wasn't Lex Luthor.
Yeah, it was kind of weird, wasn't it? Look, I thought he was kind of fun because I think that the film needed some lightheartedness. I didn't think he was great, but I enjoyed him being a bit wacky to offset the gritty Superman.
People have been saying that he's one of the reasons it spoiled the film.
Oh, really?
I suppose
because I'm not a huge Superman fan. I won't say he was an enjoyable part, but I'll say that. He was a change. Like, he lightened it up, if anything.
Because I wasn't looking at it with that same misogyny lens. Like, I don't, but it wasn't not like you would.
Mm.
That was the thing that stood out to me as being a horror.
It has got David S. Goyer involved. I'm looking here in the screenplay, and he is quite the misogynist.
Oh, really?
She-Hulk a few years back with the She-Hulk... controversy about She-Hulk wants to be raped, and it was just awful. He's had a pretty bad reputation. So it's full of these men who are writing this stuff, and it's like,
bring on the Wonder Woman movie.
That is coming in
exactly
next year,
as long as
directed by a woman, Patty Jenkins.
Thank goodness.
However, I'm sorry, it is produced by Zack Snyder.
No,
but what does produce?
Look, it's
well, it means who's in charge of this.
Look,
story,
visually,
really.
Even the way women were framed in this film was awful. Wonder Woman was everything, but like, she was just pretty much overlooked throughout the whole thing. There was no backstory for Wonder Woman. I understand they have a separate film, but they could have given a little bit of
a little bit more.
Exactly.
I do think she held her own in the fight scenes. Like, I know you had a different opinion on that, but I felt like she held her own.
She did hold her own in the fight scenes, and I was like, oh, finally something I slightly enjoy. And then when she got hit and then went to get up, the way the camera panned across her body was completely objectifying with upskirt, and it was absolutely frustrating. Like, I was my partner said that he could hear me going, ugh. constantly throughout the film in frustration. To be honest, the film was boring and predictable with forced memorable lines, if you do remember it all. It was really hard to
watch. Well, they've been calling it the most expensive box office hit bomb. You know, it's made over $243 million today. Well, it's probably gone up since then. Box office takings last weekend that's just passed. But they are saying that it's actually suddenly on the downhill slide because
nobody will return
there's been
to
some
it.
Terrible
and
reviews
be,
about
there'll
it.
Be nobody will want will, people will say don't bother wait for DVD or whatever.
Yeah.
Look, yeah. It, as far as Bruce Wayne as a character as well goes, look, with Bruce Wayne's womanizing in the Christopher Nolan films, look, it's gifted in a way or in a context where it's him keeping up appearances as Bruce Wayne. And even if he, in even so, it's never him being quite sleazy towards women. It's just sort of him being really flirtatious at parties. Like, he's supposed to be charming. Within this film, he even refers to women as bad habits. And I was just God. Like, oh, buddy,
like
what?
Cigarettes?
Yeah. Right. Like, oh, sorry, bad habit. I was like, buddy, no. Amy Adams at one point is in a bathtub naked, giving some plot exposition, and there's almost just no point for her to be naked while she's sort of.
Well, it was bad enough in the first one, Man of Steel, who teetering around on heels. I mean, seriously,
constantly, yeah,
in rubble and very dangerous environments and situations. And in the trailer, I noticed that the Lex Luthor character touches her head in a condescending, threatening way, saying, "You've got no mind."
That's it.
You're
constantly
dumb.
Women being
she's
threatened.
Put down and made out to be
there
dumb.
There is almost even with. They even blew it with Wonder Woman, Gal Gadot, that fight scene. The moment they panned on her in an objectifying manner, oh, you can fight, but you have to be hot while you do it. Look,
so
it was,
what are you giving this? Are you going to rate
it? I'm giving it a half star, but that's because it was a film recognisable as a film and it had actors in it.
Okay, lots of money too. Clayton?
look, I'm going to go two.
Two,
yeah.
Wow, okay.
Yeah. That's how old the director is.
I'm not giving you anything at all.
You haven't seen it, though, for a start.
I'll be quiet. All right, this is Sci-Fi and Scream. We have to wrap it up very soon here on Joy 94.9.
Hey, this is Matt from Astron 6, and you're listening to Sci-Fi and Scream on Joy 94.9.
Hello, boy. You're listening to Sci-Fi and Scream on Joy 94.9.
This is Owen Pallett, and you're listening to Joy 94.9.
This is Ashley C. Williams, and you're listening to Sci-Fi and Scream on Joy 94.9.
Hey, this is Matt Kennedy. You're listening to Joy 94.9. Enjoy it.
This is Lolita Faggio, script coordinator for Next Generation, Deep Space Nine, and Voyager, and I'm here today with Sci-Fi and Scream on Joy 94.9. Thank you.
Ah, yes, Sci-Fi and Scream. Here we are wrapping it up because it's been a big show filled with Wonder Woman disco. In the background, Sisters of the Plague. We had Batman versus Superman, Dawn of Justice, no thank you. And also we had a bit of Closet Monster. We talked about You're Killing Me. And before we do go, Clayton wants to mention a film. We needed more time, but we've run
out. We did need more time, and Sonia and I have slightly different opinions on this film, which would have been great to discuss in depth, but still.
Never mind.
I really liked a film called Girls Lost, which is going to be on at MIFF as well. It's called Girls Lost, or in Swedish, Pojkana, or which actually translates to The Boys. And it is a trans film, which was great to see some trans people getting to explore their real sex, their real gender identity, I should say. And yeah, I definitely recommend going to see it. Have you got the details there as to when it's on?
Yes, it is on. Well, it's only got
one screening.
One session. Like a lot of these genre ones, sadly, have only got one session. And that's Monday the 4th of April, 6:15 p.m. at ACMI or ACME. Head to the Melbourne Queer Film Festival site to find out more. Easy to search engine that. Yeah, look, didn't mind it at all. I was really excited about it. It's about an outer space or alien plant that gives off this vanilla-tasting juicy goo from its flowers. And, yes,
let you live
drink
as the opposite
it
gender.
And you can become the opposite sex.
I'd love to give that a go. Like, that would be awesome to find out what the other side's
but
like.
Can you come back?
We keep telling you. You just don't listen.
I listen.
I know.
And you can say things like, you know, I have a dick. It's like a small bird or soft.
Yeah, that was one of my favourite lines.
Oh,
yeah.
Great dialogue.
That could be the translation lost there
it
from
could
Swedish.
Be. I look at that. It's always going to happen.
It's directed by a woman as well.
It is.
This is interesting. There's a David Bowie reference throughout the movie, insane.
Well, and relevant.
Yeah, look.
Soundtrack, I absolutely loved. It was really great to listen to. There was a bit of Fever Ray in there, which her amazing song "Keep the Streets Empty" for me, which I've been obsessed with since I heard it again. And just the actual soundtrack for the film, which is also made by a woman, is fantastic. I can't remember her name off the top of my head though.
We'll have to put that on Facebook.
Yes.
All right, we have got School of Pop coming up next. But thank you for coming in, Clayton.
Thank you.
Lauren Stardust.
You're welcome.
Thanks for your Wonder Woman views. And this is Wonder Woman Disco. Of course it is. Isn't that awesome? Get down with the glitter ball.
Every day.
Linda Carter era.
Love Linda Carter.
I believe she's going to be in Supergirl, the TV show.
Looking forward to that then. Mm. Enjoying Supergirl 2. Next time.
Supergirl 2.
As well.
Oh, as well. That's right. Wow, there's a Supergirl 2.
We'll talk about that next time I'm on.
Okay.
Laying down, eating snow. You've been listening to a podcast of Sci-Fi and Scream on Joy 94.9. Check out joy.org.au/sci-fi and scream for more.
Thanks for listening to another Joy podcast brought to you by Australia's LGBTQIA plus community media organisation, Joy. Help keep Joy on air. Head to joy.org.au. Joy, a diverse sound for a diverse community.